Blog Talk Radio.
Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, here we go. And I'm betting you like girls to give love to girls and stroke your little ego. I bet you I'm guilty, your honor. That's just how we live in my genre. Who in the hell done paved the road wider? There's only one blow and one rider. I'm a damn shame, order more champagne. Full of damn hamstring, trying to put it on ya. Let your lips spin back around, come up. Slow it down, baby, take a look. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, whistle, baby? Here we go. Shawty don't even know she can get in it for the low. Told me she not a pro, it's okay, it's under control. Show me soprano, cause girl, you can handle. Baby, we start something, you come up in bar clothes. Girl, I'm new, soon my Bugatti the same nose. Show me your perfect pitch, you got it, my banjo. Talented with your lips like you blew out a candle. So I'm using, I know you can make it whistle with the music. Hope you ain't got no issues, you can do it. Even if it's no bitch, you never lose it. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby.
Okay, sorry about that, everybody. My internet keeps going out, so I've had to change the method on which I do this. If for any reason I go out again, that's why. I have no idea why the internet keeps going down. But what can you do? That silence was actually your pause in the moment to be able to marvel at the wonder that is me and to think about how this show will affect you and for the rest of your life. In honor of tonight's show, we shall be playing a brief, quick song. And this one is dedicated to my crazy friend out there. She knows who she is, and especially when she hears this song.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks they quack, and fish go blub, and the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the frog say? Suddenly you're standing still. Your fur is red, so beautiful, like an angel in disguise. But if you meet a friendly horse, will you communicate by more? How will you speak to that
is, what does the fox say? I have no clue. You'd have to ask Cora on that one. She's the one who deals with foxes and strangeness like that. So as I say, we are back here. It is 9:09 in Milwaukee, Midwest time. Do you know what you should be doing? Yes, you should be tuning in and listening to me. That's all there is to it. There's nothing else to do on a Wednesday night this time of the evening. NCIS is Tuesdays. Criminal Minds and Law and Order SVU are done. That's why the show is timed for this time of night. Because I have to get my Law and Order or my Criminal Minds on. AJ will agree with you, me, don't we, AJ?
Depends on the episode and show.
Oh, stop. So the dogs have been walked and tiddled and pooped and done their good stuff, even though one of them did it in the kitchen. Because she got too excited. I've been fed and watered. However, a nice cup of tea will probably come along a little bit later. AJ's been fed and complaining he wants more because they did make some really delicious chicken wraps. I would just like to say that. And I did steal my son's chicken that his father bought for him. Ooh, such language. But as I say, it is a Wednesday evening, and it's the middle of the week, so you know what that is? Know what it means?
What do you mean?
Hump day! What day is it, AJ? It is hump day. That means grab a partner of your choice and get to humping. Don't do it while my show is on. You wait until afterwards, or if there's a 30-second song, grab the man, get him down. Could be a Minuteman, too. 30 seconds is pretty good. Minuteman, God, that's like an all-nighter. Okay. Well, as you know, this week has been filled with trials and tribulations here in the Flinty household, or should I say the Flinty Crawford-Jonesy household. We have been busy working on these proof of life certificates. We have printed up 50 of them. Yes? That is 50 of them. We were at 33 yesterday. I did 17 more overnight. What makes me sad is that so many of these are actually going to families who've experienced more than one loss. But it's the least I can do for everybody. Everybody needs proof that their child existed. And, you know, until... you know, all the different states around the U.S. and also different countries around the world pull their fingers out of their asses and realize that life begins at conception and that a loss, no matter whether it's at 1 week pregnant or at 40 weeks pregnant, that is still a child that was due to be born, that should have been born living, and that leaves a family, you know, in just a desperate state. So this is my little gift back to everybody. However, I did kind of underestimate, you know, the outpouring of people who would want them. You know, I've been through so many different things dealing with people and stuff, and, you know, it's just, I'm trying to think of the right words. It's just overwhelming that so many people, you know, requested them and still are requesting them. And as I pointed out last night, most people who have requested them have actually been so, so amazing. Just totally, totally amazing. You know, just, I know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I don't even know how to put it. Oh, shut up, Arturo. They've been asking, oh, God, the dogs are going crazy again. You know, some people have been asking, you know, really nicely. That's the way I want to put it. They've been, you know, very polite, well-mannered and everything. And then you get some people who are just like, well, you need to make this for me, and I want it made, like, tonight, so you can mail it out tomorrow, and I want to have a tracking number as well. You know what, you'd be lucky that you get two stamps on an envelope and it's put in the mailbox if you're going to talk to me with that attitude. Because seriously, you know, this isn't something that, you know, I am doing on behalf of every, you know, a government agency, you know. And if that was the case, then by all means, you know, and if you're spending money, by all means, you know, say, can I have a tracking number, you know, that. But still, be polite about it. That's why so many people, you know, when it comes to the baby loss community, don't want to do things and will only stick to doing things in their local area for their local hospitals because of those attitudes. And to me, all you need to do is say please and thank you. Please and a thank you. That's all that's needed. And, you know, it works. It's a big thing. Yes, please, may I have this? Thank you very much. And that's just, to me, that's just the way it should be. You shouldn't be demanding anybody for anything. You can demand your money back from the government, that's for damn sure, but you ain't going to be damn out of luck because they're quick to take it, but they ain't quick to hand it back. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, if somebody's doing a service for you, I could understand if we're talking about 10 weeks later or 13 weeks later, 3 months later, and we'll get onto a subject in a minute in regards to waiting a long period of time for something. I can understand then, you know, getting a bit antsy with someone and start demanding things. But, you know, I started printing these up, Tuesday. It's Wednesday. Do not be demanding anything from me. Also, with the sheer volume that I have to get out to people, you know, you are going to have to be patient with me. I have 4 going out tomorrow. I'm expecting more stamps in the mail. So as soon as they come out, the rest of them will be stamped up and they will be mailed out. You know, and hopefully by the end of next week, everything will be gone. The international ones may take a little bit longer, purely because of the fact that international shipping is a bitch right now. Excuse my language, but this is me. Hey, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. And it is, so it might have to wait, you know, a week or even 2 weeks. If I can get money ahead of time, it will be out as soon as possible. And, I mean, seriously, I have 6 envelopes that are going to the UK and they're going to Canada, which is, believe it or not, considered international, and also going to Australia. So that's a lot of stuff that's going out. And this is coming out of my own pocket. I've been blessed with the fact that Taylor's Treasures donated some money to us to be able to get some stamps. I've got a couple of other people who messaged me saying, here, I got a book of 10 stamps. Let me throw it in the mail to you. You'll have it as soon as possible. Those little things help. But please, all I'm asking is for a little bit of patience and a little bit of understanding and knowing that this is something that's coming out of my pocket. I'm not asking anybody to pay for their proof of life certificates. I'm not asking anybody to front up the shipping cost on them. If people want to send some stamps to me, great. If people want to send large envelopes to me, great. You know, but this is something that I wanted to do personally for people. As I say, the memory bags are going to be on hold for a little bit. The next lot that I will be getting out will be in July for Maddie's anniversary. It's his 2nd anniversary this year, which is going to be, you know, it's tough. And when I mean, you know, by tough, I think last year with everything that was going on for us, it was really hard to, you know, fully mourn the loss of Matthew. But this year, it's, you know, it's a bit, it's going to be easier. And that's because we are in a better, you know, position and everything. So I'm going to play a song for right now, and then I will be right back with you, and we can discuss some more interesting events that are going on in the world. But let me find a good song.
Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and tell me how to now lay your ship in. See how I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do.
I swear the cheering and clapping at the end of that song isn't for the song. It's actually for me. Everybody's happy I'm back. But anyway, I hope everybody is having a wonderful week so far. I am sure that, you know, with the weather slowly improving all over the place, you know, things are, finally. Kind of scared me and Robert earlier in the week. We were looking at the weather forecast yesterday morning, and it said 12-inch storm going to hit Midwest. And me and Robert looked at each other like, oh, crap, more snow? Seriously? More snow? No, we were lucky. For us, the weather stayed enough above freezing that it was just rain and that misty rain as well. So thank you for warmer temperatures. We love you. We're happy about you. So the one thing that I do want to quickly point out, going back to the whole thing about the proof of life certificates, right now, if you go onto Facebook and search Maddie's Memory, I will be posting up the link there. There is a fundraiser that is currently going on that a wonderful person named Jennifer Bishop has put on for us. It is selling candles, and the candles are just amazing. They are absolutely amazing. They are the jewelry ones. So when you burn them down and everything, you will find in there an item of jewelry. This, and the difference with these ones is it's not just the rings. These ones actually can find earrings, bracelets, necklaces, as well as rings. And I believe you actually get to choose which ones, you know, you have in there. So I am just about, see, I have to multitask. Multitasking, hey, I'm awesome at it. Multitasking is good. So we go like this. We go to the fundraiser. We cut the link at the top of the page. We then go back to Maddie's Memory page. We then go down to where it says status. And we say, put this, fundraiser now going on. Please click the link. Join in, buy a candle, help Maddie's Memory. Yada, 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 boom, boom, boom. Look at that, outstanding. See, not only can I do a radio show, I can multitask. I can talk to my friends online. I can set up events on my page. And I'm sure there is some point where I could actually make a cup of tea and a sandwich. However, my ankle is killing me right now. And I should explain what happened today. A couple of weeks ago, we had a flood in our basement, and it was a big old mess and everything. Well, as a lot of you know, I have a 13-year-old who is a sprout. This child, I swear to you, just does not stop growing. So he was given a bunch of clothes before Christmas. We stored them in a suitcase in the basement. I went down to get them today, and the suitcase was soaking wet. The weight of that suitcase was just insane. As I pulled it up the basement stairs, my footing kind of slipped out from underneath me, and I slipped back down the stairs and twisted my ankle, which has been throbbing ever since. But, oh, just so you know, there is no bracelet. It's just a ring, necklace, or earrings in the candles. Thank you very much, Jennifer. See, multitasking. Anyway, going back to what happened, it hurt, like, right away, and I could feel that I'd done something wrong, but I then went and took all these clothes up to the laundromat because they were soaking wet in the suitcase, got them all washed, did all my lot, came back home, cooked dinner, ate dinner, did the dishes, cleaned the living room, the bathroom, my bedroom, and the pain in my ankle is slowly getting worse and worse and worse. Right now, it is throbbing quite nicely, and I'm sure if it could speak, it would scream at everybody. So AJ being the most wonderful man that ever has existed, and he's my chocolate Thunderbug, my chocolate chip cookie. What else are you, AJ?
Chocolate daddy.
Yeah, my chocolate daddy. My big daddy. Big daddy, big daddy, big daddy. I'm sorry, I'll calm down. He's just wonderful, and he'd be even more wonderful if he'd go into the bedroom and get my bag of Reese's peanut butter cup minis that are on my dresser.
As long as you share.
I'll share if you get them for me. And I shall sit down and eat them and have chocolate. Way. But, yeah, it's pretty painful right now, and I'm hoping that just by not doing anything tomorrow and resting it, it will get better. So AJ has decided that because he's such a sweetheart, he's going to stay off school and do his schoolwork at home. You better stand up here because I'm not throwing them at you because the dog will jump up and try and grab them. There you go. I shared. Okay. I shared. But yeah, so I'm, anyone who knows me well knows that I'm accident prone. I could trip over a piece of dust and hurt myself. It was like pretty much ongoing that when I was growing up, I mean, I did some ridiculous things. We won't go on to the broken arm, falling over a gravestone while having sex thing again. We discussed it already. Did I ever tell you about that? Oh, my God. Okay, AJ hasn't heard the story. I've shared it with everybody on the show, but I now have to share it with AJ. I was 18, and this was with my now ex-husband, and there's a graveyard in England called St. Lawrence Graveyard, and it was right before I left home and had my own apartment. And my mom won't let me have boyfriends in my room because she was worried we were going to have sex. Well, duh. And we couldn't go to his house because his parents were worried we were going to have sex. Double duh. So we went to this graveyard, and normally it was okay and everything. And I fell backwards. I kid you not, I went backwards over a gravestone and broke my arm. Ended up at the hospital, and they're like, how did you break your arm? And I said, I fell. They went, well, fell over what? And I just fell and started laughing. So they're trying to ask my ex, how did she break her arm? And he went, she fell. And then he started laughing, and we just couldn't keep a straight face. By the end of it, we're just beyond hysterical, just beyond hysterical. That was the first broken arm, okay? The arm healed really nicely. In fact, it healed beautifully. It was a beautiful break. It, you know, healed. It had a nice cast. It was still a white one, but I got people to sign it and everything. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful cast, and it healed and everything. And then I got the little card in the mail that we do in England that said, it's time to go and have your pap smear. For those of you who are men who may not know what a pap smear is, that's where they test the cervical cells of a woman to see if you have cervical cancer. So you go, I went to the doctors. Bear in mind, this was 8 weeks later. Got up on the bed, and they put your legs in stirrups because they're looking up your tootie. They're scraping stuff from inside your tootie. So I'm up on legs up on the syrup, and the doctor said to me, can you shuffle down a little bit? Well, on these beds, they're not exactly the widest bed, and, you know, I've got a large ass. My ass is like the size of Alabama on a good day. So I'm shuffling my ass down the bed, and I'm laying on that paper. You know that horrible paper they put on the beds at hospitals? Yeah. I'm laying on that. Well, the paper was shifting, which caused me to slip, and I fell off the bed. So there is me with a hospital gown up around my boobs. One of my legs is still in the stirrup. The other one is, I even know how that one got up behind my ear pretty much. My tootie's wide open for the whole world to see, and I'm laying on the floor in the doctor's office, killing myself laughing, but having excruciating pain in the arm that I broke 8 weeks previous that had just healed. So, doctor said, are you okay? He's laughing and everything. The nurse is laughing. We said, yes, done the smear test, blah, 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 blah. They said, my doctor's was attached to the hospital, so they could take me to the hospital emergency room right away, which they did. The story gets better. Yeah, this is accident prone at its finest. Got in there, filled out the paperwork, waited for my name to be called, got taken to a room, got told then to sit on the table ready to for the doctor to come in, and I went and sat and misjudged how close my ass was to the examination table and slipped off the edge and landed on the floor. So I'm sat there, the nurses are going like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm just at this point just beyond hysterical laughter wise, and I got into the part where, you know, when you start snorting and make the piggy noises and you can't breathe and you start tinkling yourself, I'm at that point of hysteria with laughing and everything. So I had an x-ray. Yes, I had broken the arm in the exact same place that I had the break 8 weeks before, and I had also damaged my butt cheeks. When I went down hard on the floor, the doctor examined my buttocks afterwards, and I already had bruising happened, which made sitting even more difficult. I spent a better part of 2 weeks laying on my side because I had big, humongous bruises on my Alabama-sized ass. There's no words to describe that kind of experience. So while I leave you with that image of my humongous ass with bruises on it and me with a broken arm, I'm going to play another song and we will be right back. Okay, we are back. We apologize for that. We're having major issues right now. For whatever reason, the internet's not working on my laptop. It's saying I'm connected, so I'm having to do this through AJ's right now. I'm hoping that it will come back and you know, I can get things started, because, you know, it would be actually nice to be able to do my own show from my own computer. I was going to actually read you a story, and hopefully I can get through it without absolutely dying with laughter. Some of you have heard it before, and some of you might not have, but this story is absolutely hilarious. And it's called, it's about a pocket taser stun gun. Okay, so here we go. Pocket taser stun gun, a great gift for the wife. This was submitted by a guy who purchased this gift for their anniversary. And here it goes. Last weekend, I saw something at Laurel's Pistol and Pawn Shop that sparked my interest. The occasion was our 22nd anniversary, and I was looking for a little something extra for my wife, Tony, when I came across a 100,000-volt pocket-sized taser. The effects of the taser were supposed to be short-lived with no long-term adverse effects on your assailant, allowing her adequate time to retreat to safety. Way too cool. Long story short, I bought the device and brought it home. I loaded two AAA batteries in the darn thing and pushed the button. Nothing. I was disappointed. I learned, however, that if you pushed the button and pressed it against a metal surface at the same time, I'd get a blue arc of electricity darting back and forth between the prongs. Awesome. Unfortunately, I have yet to explain to Tony what that burnt spot is on the face of her microwave. Okay, so I was home alone with this new toy thinking to myself, it couldn't be all that bad with only two AAA batteries, right? There I sat in my recliner, my cat Gracie looking on intently, while I was reading the directions and thinking that I really needed to try this out on a flesh and blood moving target. I must admit, I thought about zapping Gracie and thought better of it. She is such a sweet cat, but if I was going to give this thing to my wife to protect her against a mugger, I wanted some assurance that it would work as advertised. Am I wrong? So there I sat in a pair of shorts with a tank top on, with my reading glasses perched delicately on the bridge of my nose, directions in one hand, taser in the other. The directions said that 1 second burst would shock and disorientate your assailant. A 2 second burst was supposedly to cause muscle spasm and a major loss of bodily control. A 3 second burst would probably make your assailant flop on the ground like a fish out of water. Any burst longer than 3 seconds would be wasting the batteries. All the while, I'm looking at this little device, measuring about 5 inches long, less than 3/4 of an inch in circumference. Pretty cute, really, loaded with two itsy-bitsy AAA batteries, thinking to myself, no possible way. What happened next is almost beyond description, but I'll do my best. Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting there alone, Gracie looking on with her best cock to one side to say, don't do it, master. Reason that 1 second burst from such a tiny little old thing couldn't hurt all that bad. I decided to give myself a 1 second burst just for the heck of it. I touched the prongs to my naked thigh, pushed a button, and holy mother, weapons of mass destruction. I'm pretty sure Jesse Ventura ran in through the side door, picked me up in the recliner, then body slammed us both on the carpet over and over again. I vaguely recall waking up on my side in the fetal position with tears in my eyes, body soaking wet, both nipples on fire, testicles nowhere to be found. And my left arm tucked under my body in the oddest position and tingling in my legs. The cat was understandably over me, making meow sounds I'd never heard before, licking at my face, undoubtedly thinking to herself, do it again, do it again. Note, if you ever feel compelled to mug yourself with a taser, one note of caution. There is no such thing as a 1 second burst when you zap yourself. You will not let go of that thing until it's dislodged from your head by a violent thrashing motion on the floor. A 3 second burst would be considered conservative. Son of a hurt me like hell. A minute or so later, I can't. not be sure if time was relative thing at that point. Collected my wits. All the little that I had left sat up and surveyed the landscape. My red bent reading glasses were on the mantel of the fireplace. How they got up there is beyond me. My triceps, right thigh, both nipples were My face felt like it had been shot with Novocaine, and my bottom lip weighed 88 pounds. I'm still looking for my testicles. I'm offering a significant reward for safe return. Who in their right mind would taser themselves, though? That's the whole point. Seriously, why would you taser yourself? I mean, there are so many weird things I've done to myself. I have used wax strips on my legs. That hurts like hell. I have... Oh, my gosh, I've got to catch my breath now. I have accidentally put hair remover cream on my private parts instead of shaving foam. That burnt like anything. But the one thing I would not do in a million years is taser myself. I mean, seriously, I understand you want to make sure that it works and everything, but tasering yourself? Really? Really now? Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Oh, dear. Okay, I have managed to get my place back. Okay, so I think while I'm sitting here recovering from laughing so hard, we shall play... Ooh, excuse me, another song, and we will be right back.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? Force in the beginning.
Lucky.
Okay, everybody, I've composed myself long enough now to read another one to you. Because personally, I think we all need to have a good laugh, and well, that's what it's about. It's about having a good laugh. So I thought I'd read you a review. This went around Facebook and the internet like wildfire about a year or so ago. And it was the review for Veet hair removal for men. So I'm going to read this to you. I will apologize because I have read this and I'm not going to be able to hold back the laughter. Okay, so here we go. After having been told my danglers looked like an elderly Rastafarian, I decided to take the plunge and buy some of this, as previous shaving attempts have only been mildly successful, and I nearly put my back out trying to reach the more difficult bits. Being a bit of a romantic, I thought I would do the deed on the missus's birthday to give her a treat. I ordered it well in advance, and working in the North Sea, I considered myself a bit above some of the characters writing the previous reviews, and wrote them off as soft office types. Oh, my fellow sufferers, how wrong I was. I waited until the other half was tucked up in bed, and after giving some vague hints about a special surprise, I went to the bathroom. Initially, all went well. I applied the gel and stood waiting for something to happen. I didn't have to wait long. At first, there was a gentle warmth, which in a matter of seconds was replaced by an intense burning feeling, and a feeling I can only describe as being given a barbed wire wedgie by two people intent on hitting the ceiling with my head. Religion hadn't featured much in my life until that night, but I suddenly became willing to convert to any religion to stop the violent burning around the turd tunnel and what seemed like the destruction of the meat and two veg. Struggling not to bite through my bottom lip, I tried washing the gel off in the sink and only succeeded in blocking the plug hole with a mat of hair. Through the haze of tears, I struggled out of the bathroom, across the hall into the kitchen. By this time, walking was not really possible. I crawled the final yard to the fridge in the hope of some sort of form of cold relief. I yanked the freezer drawer out and found a tub of ice cream, tore the lid off and positioned it under me. The relief was fantastic, but only temporarily, as it did melt fairly quickly and the fiery and stabbing sensation soon returned. Due to the shape of the ice cream tub, I hadn't managed to give the starfish any treatment, and I groped around in the drawer for something else, as I was sure my patient was going to fail very soon. I grabbed a bag of what I later found out was frozen sprouts. Tore it open, trying to be as quiet as I did, took a handful of them, and tried in vain to clench it between the cheeks of my ass. This wasn't doing the trick, as some of the gel had found its way up the chutney channel, and it felt like the space shuttle was running its engines behind us. This was probably and hopefully the only time in my life I was going to wish there was a gate snowman in the kitchen, which should give you some idea of the depths I was willing to sink to in order to ease the pain. The only solution for my pain gazed Cruzmo could come up with quickly to ease one of the sprouts where no veg had gone before. Unfortunately, alerted by the grunts coming from the kitchen, the other half chose at that moment to come and investigate, and the screen... I was greeted by the sight of me, arse in the air. Strawberry ice cream dripping from my belly. Pushing a sprout up my ass. While muttering, ooh, that feels good. Oh, my God. Understandably, this was a shock to her as she let out a scream. As I had heard her come in, it caused an involuntary spasm of shock in myself, which resulted in the sprout being ejected at quite a high speed in her direction. I can understand. Oh, God. I can understand that having a fart spread on your face. say it. Okay, I can understand that having a sprout farted against your leg at 11 at night in the kitchen probably wasn't the special surprise she was expecting. And having to explain the kids next day what the strange hollow in the ice cream did was didn't improve my status. So to sum it up, meat removed hair, dignity of respect. Oh my God, I am literally crying with laughter here. Oh my lordy, I got tears running down my face. Oh, it's the image. Men, if you want to do something nice for your lady and surprise her, bring her some flowers. Do not put meat hair remover on your ass and your nutsack. I am seriously begging you. And on that note, I have to regain some composure, so let's have another song.
Everybody get up.
Like it hurt, what you don't like work. Hey.
we are back. Oh, I had to compose myself. That was just so funny. Oh, my gosh. It's just a thought. I don't know about you, but you hear stories like that, and all you do is look at the person you're with thinking, and you can just see, imagine them going through the same thing. And, oh, Lord. Oh, it was just hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Whew. Okay, I'm good. I'm back now. So anyhow, it's 10 p.m. here in Milwaukee. It is 11 p.m. on the East Coast. It's 8 p.m. on the West Coast. And it's, I don't even know what time it is on my coast. But as I say, tomorrow is supposed to be the first day of spring. And they're actually saying here in Milwaukee that we've got a return to winter weather. So I'm going to bring up and let's just see what the weather is going to be like for the first day of spring. I don't know about anybody else, but I seriously would be so glad to actually see decent weather. Because, oh, excuse me, it's just been getting ridiculous, this cold weather we've had coming in, the polar vortexes. You know, they really, really have not been fun at all. I mean, it's been, I would say, snow-wise here in the Midwest, we've been pretty lucky. We haven't had some of the major storms that the East Coast has had and everything. But we've still suffered with this sheer cold weather that we've had. You know, we've had how many polar vortexes hit? We had three, didn't we? Two that resulted in loads of places closing down for 2 days. I mean, you know it's cold when the temperature minus the wind chill is in, like, minus 20. And then you added on the wind chill, we had a couple of days where it hit, like, minus 40, minus 50. You know, so let's just see what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. Because, they, you know, our weather's saying that it's a return to winter. Oh, excuse me. See, and this I don't get. Tomorrow's the first day of spring, right? It's saying for here, for the first day of spring, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it's going to be 44 degrees. Okay. What happened? They said that that was supposed to be the cold weather.
Or are they talking about the week, the days to come?
Well, let's take a look, shall we? Thursday, 44. Friday, 48. Saturday, 43. This is where they could be on about it. Sunday is 29, but they are saying that there is a snowstorm going to hit the St. Louis area that's going to drop about 8 inches of snow. So I am wondering if that's what they're on about, because for us, our forecast looks pretty, pretty nice. Let's have a look further on. Yeah, I mean, for the upcoming, like, 10 days, it's all in the 30s and the 40s, which is wonderful. So nice to get out of those teens and the 20s and edge up a little bit. Yeah. But I don't know about anybody else. Does everybody else agree that this month is going, like, crazy fast? It's, like, the 19th today. And, you know, I know, it's just, like, It's insane. It really is insane. The one thing I do want to say is yesterday was actually my beautiful Nan's, it would have been her 88th birthday had she still been living with us. She's been gone 19 years this coming June. For those of you who don't know and who haven't read my book, shame on you. Go and get my book now. There's no excuses. It's on Amazon. Go buy it. Okay. Now I've done nagging. Yeah, it's one of those things where I grew up with my grandparents, well, my grandma. My grandfather actually died the year before I was born, and me and my mom lived with my nan. And she raised me until I was about between 6 and 7, which is when we moved in with my now, who I refer to as my dad. He's actually my stepdad, but he is dad to me. As they say, you know, sperm may make you a father, but somebody special take somebody special to be a dad. He is my dad. And she only ever lived like a block, maybe 2 blocks away from our house all through the time I was growing up. So I was always up there. My parents both work for the electric company, and I would be up there before school because they had to be at work by 7:30, and school in the UK doesn't start till 9. And then I would be there after school until my parents got home. So, you know, she was always a constant figure in my life. She was the person, she was that, you know, everybody has that safe place to fall. And my nan was that safe place. And yesterday would have been her 88th birthday. In honor of that, I did receive some really beautiful flowers from a beloved friend of mine who, I shouldn't say she's a friend, actually. She's so much family, it's not even funny. She knows who she is, and I love her to death. And, you know, it's, she was, we always used to joke with her that the only reason she was born the day after St. Patrick's Day was that my great-grandma was out drinking brandy the day before. Now, if anybody had ever met my great-grandma, through all of her pregnancies, would have a glass of brandy every day. She literally, from the age of 17 through until the day she died, this is my great-grandma, would drink a glass of brandy. And I remember my nan taking me up to visit her, and we would take up two bags of marshmallows and this little bottle of brandy that looked like it was in a hip flask. And she would always love that. But I would tell you a story about my nan, and it will actually make you all laugh, I hope. And AJ's going to sit there with an open mouth when he hears it, because I don't even know if I told him this. But every Friday when I left home and I was working, I would meet up with my nan, and we would go shopping at a store called Sainsbury's, which is kind of like a big grocery store. It's very similar to those of you who know, like a Pick and Save type place. So we would always go there on a Friday. There was a little cafe next to it, and we'd stop in there and have breakfast there, go shopping, and then go back to her house, and I'd help her unpack everything and stay for lunch, and then I'd go home in the afternoons. I'd always planned, and I was lucky my work was really good, that they would give me either a Friday off or give me an evening shift, so I didn't even have to go into work until like 5 or 6. So we went shopping, and we found these grapes, and not grapes, plums. And these plums were huge. They would, like, fit in the palm of your hand. They were as big as the palm of your hand. So we got some of these plums and everything, and we got back home. And my mom came at lunchtime, because my mom's work was probably about half a mile away. So she would come at lunchtime and come visit up at my nan's. And we were sat there, and she asked my mom, she said, would you like a plum? And my mom said, yes, me and my mom are big fruit lovers, so, you know, these plums were always so good as well. My nan came out of the kitchen holding two plums in her hand, and these were the, like, purple skin ones. And she went, oh, she said, these remind me of a black man's balls. She said, it's been such a long time since I've had the joy of a black man's balls in my hand. We just froze and started laughing. My nan was just one of the funniest women out there. She had such a dry sense of humor, and for her to come out just out of the blue discussing a black man's testicles was just hilarious. She would be proud of the fact that I'm with a black man. I mean, she would love that. But, you know, she was just wonderful, and I can remember leading up to my wedding, I had an Aunt Summer's party, which is the same as the passion parties where you can buy adult toys and everything. And my nan bought me a whip and a 12-inch vibrator and said to me, these are for the nights where he says no. And I just remember, like, oh, my God, thinking, this woman's insane, but... You know, she was just so funny. She was just wonderful. And I miss her very, very much and everything. And I know that she would have been the first person trying to get a flight over here when Maddie died. She would have loved Robert. Robert would have been, even though I should explain, my grandparents married in 1951. But my grandfather was married before, and he did have three boys in his previous marriage. But him and my nan only had two kids, and that's my aunt and my mom, and they're identical twins. And there's, out of my nan's children, there are three of us grandkids. There's my eldest cousin, then there's me, and then there's my younger cousin. But I was the first one to have the babies in the family, so she would have, you know, Robert would have been her first grandchild, and I know she would have tried getting out of here, you know, for his birth and everything. But one of the things I remember, and it was only after losing Maddie that I remembered the conversation I had with her, that she'd experienced between 1951 and 1956 when she had my parents, my mom. She'd experienced two miscarriages. She never said how far along she was. She always said that she thought one of her miscarriages was a little boy, and the second one she swore up and down. She said that was a boy. That was my baby boy. So, you know, and she always remembered that. She brought it up a lot, and I remember her telling me, you know, when you have a child, it's not guaranteed that you're going to have that child through to giving birth to them, and she explained that to me. Her mum, which is my great-grandmum, which is the brandy drinker and marshmallow eater, she had a little boy called Roy, and Roy, bless his heart, was 3 years old when he died. He died of scarlet fever, which back in the 20s was, you know, a terrible, terrible disease there, you know, and everything. And, you know, that stayed with my great-grandma. My great-grandma always said that she was looking forward to the day when she would see Roy again. And he was really close with my nan. And my nan always said that, you know, she missed Roy so much, even as an adult. And eventually, it was about a week before she died, we spoke about him. And she said that the first thing she was going to do when she got to heaven was hug my granddad and then find her brother. So I really hope and pray that she fulfilled that and got to see them. On that note, we are going to play another song, and we will be right back.
Welcome to Nellyville, where all newborns get a half a meal. Son gets to Vanderbilt soon as they can reach the wheel. And all the time is the size of the age. Oh, yeah, no. 1 year get one third, 2 years get two thirds.
something is good enough and turn it to great. Baby, understand this can only be as good as we both make it. Yeah, sometimes it's gonna hurt.
Sometimes it's gonna hurt.
And we are back. We started off with some fun and laughter and everything. And as a lot of you know, I go through some trials and tribulations with my son's father. And one of the things I'm actually dealing with right now is, some of you may be aware, some of you aren't, but my son belongs to the Big Brother Big Sister program in Milwaukee. And his big brother, Greg, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday to you, Greg. His big brother Greg and him were paired off when, oh my God, Robert was in elementary school, weren't he? I think he was in his final grade of elementary school, and Robert's gone into high school this upcoming school year, so that tells you it's been a long, ongoing relationship, and it's one that they both really enjoy. Robert loves his Wednesday evenings with Greg. You know, it's like seriously having that big brother who you can look up to and everything. But since Robert's dad's been out of jail, he's been very, very upset over it. He's been, you know, saying that he doesn't like Robert doing this, that Greg's not family. Well, you know, maybe Greg wasn't family to begin with, but he has become family. We've witnessed him get married. He's changed jobs, bought a house. You know, he is family. He is, in all sense and purposes, Robert's big brother, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be. Greg has been such an amazing influence also on Robert and has inspired Robert to want to join the military and become an engineer. And this evening I had a conversation with Robert's dad because he calls up all the damn freaking time. It's got to the point where we don't actually answer the phone during the day. We wait until Robert's home, and then Robert can answer the phone to speak with his dad. Felt like something was on my leg for a minute. Ooh, that scared me. His dad's called up this evening, and I spoke with him because his dad did forget that Robert was at the Big Brother program. And he said that he was really upset that he feels that Robert should give up using the Big Brother program. And he doesn't want Robert joining the army. He doesn't want Robert becoming an engineer. He wants Robert to have realistic goals. And I tried finding out from him. I said, well, what to you is a realistic goal? To me, him graduating high school and joining the army to help pay for his engineering degree and becoming an engineer in the army was a realistic goal. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but to me, having a 13-year-old with those kinds of dreams and aspirations, to me, is an amazing thing. It's a really, really good thing to hear. But for some reason, he's really against it. And I know for him, it's probably because he was in the army and he quit. He actually, I don't know how they refer to it. In the UK, we refer to it as buying your way out, where you forfeit your benefits and your pay to terminate your contract early. Well, you know, that's because of things he was doing in Germany, two of which weren't legal. Robert has not shown, thank the Lord, so far, any signs of being interested in, you know, smoking weed or smoking in general. He's not interested in drinking, that type of thing. And he sees it as a goal. He has things planned out that he wants to do and that he will achieve with the help of the army. You know, he keeps saying he wants to buy a car, get a nice apartment somewhere, you know, train to be an engineer, be in the army. Well, he actually wants to be in the National Guard. Be in the National Guard for a set amount of time. After finishing with the National Guard, you know, do some other things. And, you know, to me, it's like instead of discouraging a child from doing that, his dad should be, you know, backing him up and saying to him, yeah, this is a great idea. This is a good idea. You know, I'm proud of you. You know, keep working on it, that kind of thing. And he's not. And I really just don't understand why that is. His response to everything is, well, Robert needs to think of me, as in him, not me. Robert needs to think of me. What about me? What happens to me? Well, I don't know about you, I didn't have my children in order for them, when I'm older, to be concerned about getting a job and looking after me. That's not their job to do. You know, if my son wants to help me out when he is older, it's going to be a fight, to be perfectly honest. I'm one of the worst people to ask for help from. I'm okay when it comes to Maddie's memory. I'm more than willing to ask help. If I need help myself, I'm terrible in asking, and the last person I will go to is my son. I'm not like certain members of his family who expect their children to pay for them and to look after them and to give them money. Now, if Robert's living under my roof and working, he will be expected to contribute towards bills and food and stuff. But it's not going to be, oh, you need to pay half the rent, you need to pay half the electric. It's, you know, it'll be a set amount that will cover his share of everything. It's the same as what my mum would do for me, you know, when I was at school, you know, living at home. Or just watching, ooh, Larry Sanders, who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, got elbowed in the face and is out for the rest of the season. But anyway, my whole thing is that it's not down to our children to look after us. You know, we should be raising our children to stand on their own two feet and leading by example. And I hope that I've led Robert by example. I know that we had a rough year last year in losing our home and, you know, struggling to find somewhere to live. That he did see myself and AJ, you know, literally scrape up from the bottom, do whatever we could to make sure there was food on the table, that he had clothes on his back. And yeah, yes, last year was hard, and I would feel guilty for a long time for certain things that went on, especially when it came to his birthday. But, you know, you work through it. And Robert has seen us work hard to get things. He knows that not everything's handed to you on a silver platter. You do have to work hard. You do have to put in time and energy. You do have to pay your dues. And, you know, I think his dad set a very bad example, in my opinion, in saying to him, well, no, you shouldn't be doing this. You need to think about me. You know, as I said, I will be the first one to admit when Robert goes for basic training, I'm going to be terrified having my little boy, regardless of how old he is, that's my little boy, you know, go out and do something which is a dangerous career. If he gets called to active duty and has to go and serve his country, I am going to be terrified for him. But at the end of the day, it's not my life. It's not about me. It's about my son and what he wants to do for himself. And I was trying to get this through to his father today, that, you know, our kids aren't there to, you know, make sure we're okay. We have to raise our kids to make sure they're okay. I know right now, and AJ can attest to this, Robert can cook his own food because he does a lot, because he doesn't always like what I make. He does his own laundry because it has to be done just a certain way. My son is such a diva when it comes to things like that. Right, AJ? He can take care of himself. And, you know, I have no problems with that. Now is, for me, the time to get him through high school, to hone those skills, to make sure he is well-equipped, for him to start learning about jobs and everything. And he wants to work. Oh, my God, my son so wants to get a job and wants to work so he can buy himself things and, you know, all that lot. And to me, it's a testament to how you raise your children that they do these things. And I hope that, you know, when he looks back on, you know, how our life is and how we have done things, that he will understand that it was rough at times and everything, but we did what we could and we've done the best for him. You know, when we moved into our new home, we made sure that his room was the first room that was completely sorted out, so that he went to bed and his bed was up. He, you know, he had his blankets. He had, you know, everything was right. Everything was perfect for him. And we've added on to it. We had to get him a new bed. He's got his dresser. He's got his bookcase. He's got his desk. You know, and there are little things that he wants, but those are mainly aesthetic things. Like he wants a picture of Lambeau Field for his bedroom wall and, you know, a couple of other things. But those are all things that, you know, aren't essentials. Those are like things you add on. And as some of you know, me and AJ have only just now got our own bed, which is wonderful. It's so nice actually having a bed that when you roll over, you have got either the floor 2 inches away from your ass cheeks, or you're not hearing squeaking vinyl from an air mattress. So it is nice, and, you know, it's been tough, but we're doing it. And I really do hope that when he is older, he will see that everything that we have done to give him a life that he should enjoy. And as I say, when he gets to the age where he can join the military, I have no issues with signing any paperwork that needs to be signed for him to go right away. You know, to me, it's an honor that my son has decided at 13 that he wants to be a part of the military and serve his country. I'm proud of the fact that he has decided I'm not saying there's anything wrong with just being a soldier, but he's chosen a career path within the Army that he wants to follow. And for a 13-year-old boy, I personally think that is awesome. So big shout outs to my son, and I hope everybody else is so proud of their own children as well. And just remember, they are a little version of you. And we will be right back after this. We'll be right back. Okay, this next song that I'm going to play, because I'm playing one right away, it's for a man who's a very, very sexy man. In fact, he's too sexy for his shirt. He's too sexy for his hat. What do you think about that, Brandon Haskell? Yeah, I'm talking about you, Brandon. This song is for you from your wife. So you better get up off that butt. You better put on your yellow elephant.
Don't do it.
Shut up, Artrell. Be quiet. Put on your yellow elephant. And you better jiggle that little booty of yours.
Don't do it.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Okay, I'm back. That song was for Cora, because I know after Brandon's done his I'm Too Sexy little dance and shook it, I bet he did do it. I bet she then sings to him, "You shook me all night long," in her candy underwear wearing a hump day t-shirt. See, there's a reason why we received those weird gifts from her. She's really got them herself, and she's like, "Oh my God, this is phenomenal. I just love the way the candy undies fit me. They're just so snug against the booty." And then she sends us a pair. AJ's not saying a word. He's just like, "I ain't even in this conversation." But anywho, it's like 10:45 here in the Midwest, and it's time for everybody to get themselves in their pajamas, grab their little blankies, and get ready for bed. Because it's night, night, sleepy tight time. And I am actually going to finish this a little bit early. I want to thank everybody for listening in. I'm going to play a couple more songs, but that's pretty much all you're going to hear from me. And I hope to hear from all of you on Friday, if I remember to do Hazel and her cup of tea. I did actually forget last week, but mind you, we were out last week as well. So, you know, keep listening in, keep tuning in. Thank you for listening and supporting everything that we're doing here on WFSL Radio. It is a privilege to have you tune in each week. Thursdays is the Smarks List, am I right?
Tomorrow, yep.
Yep, Thursday is the Smarks List here on Blog Talk Radio. Friday is Hazel and her tea. Saturday or Sunday, AJ will be having one of his shows.
Maybe it'll be Sunday.
Oh, it'll be Sunday, which is the Artrell Jones show, which basically is a sports roundup pretty much, and some other things that come across his desk in regards to news and views and stuff. On Monday, it is WFSO Aftermath. We start at 10:30 on Central Time, where we talk about the week in wrestling. And for those of you who know me well enough to know that I do like me some wrestling. And as I say, on Wednesdays, it's me, Hazy, who loves you all. So I'm going to play us a couple of songs to play us out, and I want to say I love to you all, and I will catch you all on the flip side.
I don't see how you can hate from outside of the club.
You can't even get in.
Leg out. Yellow model kid. Yellow bottle sipping. Yellow Lamborghini. Yellow top missing. Yeah, yeah. That shit look like a toupee. I get what you get in 10 years. In 2 days. Ladies love me. I'm on my cool day. If you get what I get, what would you say? She whacked it all off, Mr. Miyagi, and the suicide doors, Ari Kari.
Look at me now, oh, I'm getting paper, look at me now, oh, look at me now, yeah.
Fresh to the motherfucker, little nigga bigger than gorilla, cause I'm killing every nigga that can try to be on my shit. Better cut your chick if you with it, I can get it, and she accidentally slip and fall on my dick. Oops, I said, oh my dick. I ain't really mean to say oh my dick, but since we talking about my dick, all of you here to say hi to it. I'm done.
Hell breezy. Let me show you how to keep the dice rolling when you're doing that thing over there, homie.
Let's go!
Cause I'm feeling like I'm running and I'm feeling like I gotta get away, get away, get away. Better know that I don't and I won't ever stop, cause you know I gotta win every day, day.
Go!
She really, really wanna pop me.
Go!
Just know that you will never pop me. And I know that I could be a little cocky.
No!
You ain't never gonna stop me. Every time I come a nigga gotta set it, then I gotta go in, then I gotta get it, then I gotta blow in, then I gotta shut it. Any little thing a nigga think that he be doing, cause it doesn't matter, cause I'm gonna dead it, dead it. Then I'm gonna murder everything and anything about a boom, about a bing. I gotta do a lot of things to make it clear to a couple niggas that I always win, and then I gotta get it again and again and again. And I be doing it to death, and now I move a little foul. Nigga better call a ref, and everybody know my style. Niggas know that I'm the best when it come to doing this. And I be banging on my chest, and I'm banging the east, and I'm banging in the west. And I cannot give you more, and I will never give you less. You will hear it in the street, or you can read it in the press. Do you really wanna know what's next?
Let's go.
See the way we on it, and we all up in the race, and you know we gotta go and try to keep up with the pace. And we struggling and hustling and set it and to get it, and we always gotta do it, take it to another place. Gotta taste it, and I gotta grab it, and I gotta cut all through this traffic just the beat and the top of the song, but I know I gotta have it, have it.
Look at me now, look at me now, oh. I'm getting paper, look at me now, oh. Look at me now, yeah. Fresh to the fuck, man, fuck these bitch ass niggas. How y'all doing? I'm Latunche, I'm a nuisance. I go stupid, I go dumb like the Three Stooges. I don't eat sushi, I'm the shit, no, I'm pollution, no substitution. Got a bitch that play in movies in my jacuzzi, pussy juicy. I never give a fuck about a hater, got money on my radar. Dressed like a skater, got a big house, came with an elevator. You niggas ain't eating, fuck it, tell a waiter. Molly say shoot him and I say okay. If you want that bullshit, then I'm like Olay. I don't care what you say, so don't even speak. Your girlfriend a freak like Cirque du Soleil. That's word to my flag, and my flag red. I'm out of my head, bitch, I'm out of my mind. From the bottom I climb, you ain't hotter than mine. Nope, not on my time, and I'm not even trying. What's poppin', slime? Nothing five. And if they trippin', fuck them five. I ain't got no time to shuck and jive. These niggas is sweet as pumpkin pie. Throckin' Sprite on a private flight, bitch. I've been Tyson, got in life. And my pocket's white, and my diamond's white. And my mama's nice, and my daddy's dead. You faggot scared, cause I'm too wild. Been here for a while. I was like, fuck trial. I put it down, I'm so young money. If you got eyes, look at me now, bitch. Look at me now. Look at me now. How? I'm getting paper, look at me now, oh, look at me now, yeah,
I'm fresher than a motherfucker.
Okay, okay,
is that right? I'm fresher than a motherfucker.